answer I had was, well, Psalm 91 says, with long life will he satisfy you. So God wants you to choose when you die. He doesn't want the devil to kill you when the devil wants. Which is a pretty good answer for somebody who's been saved a few months. But that's not the answer we would give today. The answer we would give today is, you're absolutely right. God has healed you so you don't have to die. God created you so you wouldn't die. Even today, doctors will tell you, all your cells are replaced every 7 years. They used to say, brain cells can't be replaced. But they've changed their tune about 10 years ago, and even brain cells are regenerated. God created us to go on and on and on. Methuselah, who was not even born again, lived 969 years. And he was not even born again. And sin was still in the world. Satan was still in the world. Today, Satan is in the world, but he's defeated. The only power he has in your life and my life is the power we give him in our lives. You and God are a majority. But if you choose to partner with the devil, you and the devil are a majority in that endeavor at that point in time. You can have God on the throne of your life, or you can take him off periodically and put the devil up there because you have a pet demon, a pet sin, a habit you think you can't break for whatever reason. Choice is all up to you and to me. As for me, I am so absolutely, astoundingly, amazingly happy that I've been saved. When I first got saved, I ministered the first, I don't know, maybe 8 years to a lot of different churches. And God just opened the door and I ministered all over. And I remember, very often when they would ask for testimony, many of these churches, most of them, the testimonies would not be about miracles or healing or astounding financial breakthrough. They'd always be 5-6 people giving the same testimony. I give a testimony, I'm so happy that I'm saved. And I used to think, wow, is that the best testimony you guys can give? Because I wanted to hear about miracles and signs and wonders and about the power of God working. But as I've grown and matured, I realized they were giving the best testimony. That is the best testimony. We're saved, we're going to heaven. Isn't that true? Despite all our faults and mistakes, we are going to heaven. But that's not the end of the story. So, I was like most people heading for hell. I had no interest in God. I became an atheist. I went to college for almost 10 years, got multiple degrees in multiple disciplines, and became an atheist. But through the grace of God and the prayer of my family, I got saved. I uttered a prayer once, not realizing I was praying. I was sitting in my car, my very nice, expensive, luxurious car, looking at the beautiful hills along the coast. I had been out of the country for a couple of months. I don't know, 1 month, 2 months, I forget exactly. And I came back, I was so happy to be home, and I was enjoying the beautiful rolling hillsides with the green and the ocean and the sun setting in the sea by the point. Absolutely wonderful. And I sat there looking at all this beauty. And the Bible says creation tells you about God. I didn't know that. And I breathed a prayer and I said, God, if you're real, and you prove yourself to me, I will do anything you say. Pretty nervy to ask God to prove himself. But God had mercy on me, who was a sinner, who still sins today. And God miraculously saved me through the prayer and intervention of my family. So I set out to do whatever God wanted me to do. And he gave me a list of things to do, and after about 3 years, having totally changed my life, given up everything in my life that I had before, closed down my company, severed relationships, fellowship with three different groups of friends and peers, associates, three different groups. Got rid of my home. Threw away all my textbooks from 10 years of college. And a number of things. Threw away my liquor collection. I had a wonderful liquor collection. Threw it all in the trash. And God gave me some things to do, and after a few years, I had them all done. And I said, okay, Lord, did everything you asked me. I'm ready to come home. Take me out of my body and take me home. You said I can have what I ask, what I say, and I'm saying, Lord, take me home. And it's the first time I heard God laugh. He laughed and says, I think I have a few more things for you to do. And that kept me busy until 1996. End of 1996, God put me on a fast, a long fast, going into 1997. Part of the fast was for the entire holiday season, from about the middle of December to the middle of January, I spoke to nobody. Nobody. For me, Christmas is always, even as an atheist, Christmas was always the best holiday. And then he spoke to me and said, I want you to teach my people
Congregation, pray in tongues and support, please.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for praying. As I'm sure you know, that was a manifestation of the Holy Spirit on the flesh, on me. Thank you for praying. So the Lord said to me, I want you to teach my people how to be alive and remain until my son Jesus returns. He said, teach them how to cross over the river of death. Just as Joshua led them across the river Jordan, so you are going to lead them across the river of death. And since then, our ministry has been pointed towards the return of Jesus. And many times during the last 23 years, I've said I've learned more in the last year or the last 6 months or the last 3 months than I did in my previous entire life, entire Christian life, entire life, repeatedly, many times. I've been given the most wonderful wife a man could have for a ministry like this. And this is semester two. And I want you to understand that God used Sarah to work with me, to influence me, to understand what God wanted to have semester two. Semester two is a direct result of interaction between Sarah and me. So God sent me to do a specific task. When God sends somebody, the name we use for that is an apostle. The ministry is called apostolic. God gave ABC an apostolic ministry. An apostle opens up new geographical territories, opening churches. Bishop Arnold, who is an apostle, went to the Philippines after a major hurricane. They call them typhoons there. And in 30 days, founded 25 churches. That's the work of an apostle. To establish 25 churches in 30 days, you have to be an apostle to do that. God called me to do something and to teach the body of Christ about things that have never been taught before and certainly things that have never been done before. And starting from then, God started putting together the various pieces that became the 7.5 years of formal schools that we have. These schools did not come out of the standard church services, midweek service, and Sunday services. They did not come out of that. Rarely do they overlap. This really did overlap until this year, whereas you all know we are reteaching the healing school and the main services on Friday and Sundays. We've completed semester one. Now we're starting semester two. So God has given us an apostolic end time ministry to show the body of Christ what they need to understand and what they need to do in these ending days to help the knowledge of the glory of the Lord flood the earth. For in these ending days, the knowledge of the glory of the Lord will flood the earth. And the books which have been sealed until the ending days are being opened, and we're understanding what God wants us to teach. So I've known that all these times, from our ABC Bible College to the healing schools to the School of Dominion, to all the teaching we've done, they've all been geared towards the ending days. So to be alive and remain, you need to be very knowledgeable in healing. You need to know how to get your healing by yourself, how to get your cleansing by yourself, how to be independent of the system of mammon. For God has said, come out of them. We need to be independent as much as we can with the world. He did say, occupy till I come. Well, occupy in one main sense means you are the standing army left behind to keep Satan in check. You're the army occupying the earth. We're not off this earth. We're in this earth, but not of it. We are off the kingdom of heaven. And we're here as ambassadors of heaven, as an occupying force. But occupying means you also have to interact at some point, at some level, with the systems of mammon. Just as it's okay to have great financial wealth, it's not okay to have great financial wealth have you. So we can use and interact with mammon to a minimum level. But not when mammon replaces God. Your paycheck is not your provider. God is your provider. Jehovah Jireh is your provider. God is a jealous God. And his names reflect his character. Jehovah Rapha, he is your healer. He is everything you need, and for everything you need, God has a name that reflects what he wants to do for you. And he is a jealous God. So we are called to learn how to live. Because you can't be alive or remain if you don't know how to live during these perilous times which are coming up on the earth. Therefore, we need to have healing school. And we need to have school of dominion over everything around us to ensure that we are alive and remain until Jesus returns. So two of the major ministries here at ABC, ABC of course means assembling of the body of Christ. Do not forsake the assembling of the body of Christ, even as the day of the Lord approaches. Even as the day of the Lord approaches. Hebrews 10:25. Do not forsake the assembling of the body of Christ. By internet churches, by local churches, even as the day of the Lord approaches. So we have a healing ministry described by many as the best healing school in the world by people who've had experience. The ABC Healing School consists of 3 semesters. The recommended prerequisite for the healing school is graduation from the ABC Bible College. All ABC staff members have learned to maintain their health without need for medicines, drugs, doctors, hospitals, or insurance. The cleansing ministry, described by some as the best cleansing ministry in the world, ABC's cleansing goal is to teach others to be not dependent on others. As far as I am aware, there is no other cleansing ministry that has that goal. Every cleansing ministry I know teaches the people to come to them. They raise up people who they train, and the people come to them. But they don't train the people how to cleanse themselves in general. It's not part of the ministry. That's how God has called them to do it. What he's called us to do is to teach mature believers that the veil in the temple was torn in two. The veil in the temple was torn in two. So that man now has complete access to God. We don't need an anointed person to pray for you. We don't need a priest, a bishop, an apostle. We don't need anybody to pray for you. You can go to God as your high priest and get what you need. So our cleansing ministry and our healing ministry teach people how to stand on their own two feet. Cleansing is formally taught in healing school semester 3 and continues as a lifestyle of learning through all the subsequent schools. So cleansing is taught in healing school semester 3. Cleansing is very important, and so the teaching continues through participation in doing through all the other schools, all the other classes. Because Jesus is coming back for church without spot or wrinkle. And when he comes back, in 1 John it says, we shall see him as he is. And every person who has this hope purifies himself even as he is pure. First John 3:1-3. Every person who has this hope purifies himself even as he is pure. That's what cleansing is all about. So all these diverse schools are all geared to a certain point, being alive and remaining when Jesus returns. Preparing for the ending days. ABC equips students for success in the ending days. Not just success, but success in the ending days. By teaching them how to live with dominion over their bodies, over sicknesses and diseases, over natural calamities, over demons, devils, and evil spirits, and over the natural and spiritual kingdoms of the world. We're to walk in dominion over everything except other people. Other men and women, we have no dominion over, and we should not try. That's more witchcraft than it is anything godly. Most importantly, in the graduate classes, students learn to identify one's own calling in the ending days. Students learn how to identify the calling. Every person has a calling. We need to respond to the calling. Find out what has God called us to do. And how to prepare themselves for the return of Jesus, and what to do, what they should do to help prepare the way for the return of Jesus. The ABC curriculum. Preparing yourself for the return of Jesus. 7.5 years. Bible College, Healing School, School of Dominion. Book of Revelation, Living and Not Dying, and Graduate School. Each one consists of 2 or 3 semesters. What I call ABC stepping stones to victory. Victory in every area of your life, not just ending days. The Bible College, you understand your rights in Christ Jesus, and we teach on the 12 types of primary prayers. 12 types of primary prayers. That's the only place in ABC where we teach all 12 types. Healing School Semester 1, you just completed that. The power of the spoken word. Emphasis on confessing your sins. What are the components of sins? How sins affect you? Breaking curses and the healing methods. The primary and secondary way of getting your healing manifested. Healing School Semester 2, the Pentecostomy. That you are a 5-part being. You should love God with your you, the spiritual love of God with your heart, soul, mind, and body. 5 parts. You learn how to establish the kingdom of God and what the kingdom of God is and why the kingdom of God and the kingdom of heaven are not the same. The escalator of the fruit of the Spirit. Healing School Semester 3. Cleansing. Primary focus is cleansing. And the primary tool we use is the 3 witnesses prayer. The 3 witnesses prayer. School of Dominion, semesters 1, 2, and 3. Learning to enforce dominion over yourself, over all natural things, Example, earth, wind, fire, water, animals and plants, hurricanes, typhoons, volcanoes, landslides. Many years ago, probably 30 years ago, in Ventura, part of California, the hillsides were so soaked and big storms were coming in that they had no doubt, were 100% confident the hillside was going to come down. So it had camera crews all out there from different stations all lined up to record all the hillsides coming down with their houses with them. It was a very major production. And the Lord said, stop it. So I prayed and I stopped it. They were out there right through the entire storm waiting for the landslide and the hills coming down and the houses coming down. Not one house came down. The hillside did not slide. Nor did the hillside slide. Okay? The School of Dominion, semesters 1, 2, and 3 are required prerequisites for all semesters of graduate school. ABC Ending Days Preparation is the Book of Revelation School. It's two semesters on understanding the ending days and what is required of you. And why it's coming about. And why taking away the mystery. There is no mystery. It's a logical, spiritual result of everything starting in the book of Genesis and flowing right through that. And the school shows you that. It shows you the primary themes and the secondary themes of the Bible and how they all come together in the book of Revelation. And anybody can actually take that school. There's not really a prerequisite per se, but I strongly recommend that you don't take it until you complete through SOD 1, 2, and 3. Not a requirement, not yet so far. Anybody can take it. In fact, it's going to be the first public school. We're going to put up a public website of the book of Revelation. We're just days or weeks away from doing it now, where it will be available to the public. School of Living and Not Dying. How you can live and not die and be alive and remain until Jesus returns. Two semesters. Graduate School Semester 1. Understanding the kingdoms of the ending days. Graduate School Semester 2. Understanding the four major themes of the Bible and how they culminate in the end times. Graduate School Semester 3. Preparing the way for the return of the Son of Man. Watch and pray always that you might be accounted worthy to stand before the Son of Man. Words of Jesus. Healing schools. There are three healing schools. This is an introduction to semester 2. Each semester has a theme and a title. But the entire school has an overall theme. James 4:7 is the theme for the overall healing school. Submit yourself to God, resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. If the devil is not fleeing from you, if demons don't leave the room when you walk in, then you're either not submitted properly or you're not resisting properly. Because the word of God is true. So if you submit, if you resist, the devil will flee. It is our desire to teach each student, each person at ABC, to be so formidable in the spiritual realm that they, when they walk into a room, demons flee and get out as fast as they can. People have seen that happen. Demons fleeing. In fact, just yesterday, beg your pardon, Friday night, someone was telling me how the demon fled from her. Semester 1, Foundations of Divine Healing. Theme, healing comes through speaking the Word of God. You submit yourself to God by being obedient to His Word. Now, people think right away, oh, here's all the don'ts I can't do. We're not talking about just the don'ts. In fact, we're emphasizing the do. It's not just not doing the don'ts. It's more importantly that you do the do's. So the emphasis is on the do's. That you believe the do's and you do them. You have what you say. We're made in the image and likeness of God. Now, I've heard people say, boy, that person is a spitting image of his father. Do we all know what it means? Yeah, it means his father chews tobacco and spits, and they all walk around spitting. Is that what it means? No? 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 It could, though. It could. But we know what it means, right? He looks just like his father. Isn't that true? And they say, boy, he acts just like his father. We know what that means. It's not talking about the way he looks. It's the way he behaves. His behavior is just like his father. He sounds like his father. He makes the same kind of decisions. He's like a mini father, which we call a son. Am I correct? Well, we are sons and daughters of God. We are made in his image and likeness. And we need for people to say, boy, he's a spitting image of his father God. And she acts just like God. That should be your goal. Other part of the goal is we should live our life in such a way that the transition to heaven should hardly be noticeable. He who goes to war does not entangle himself in the things of the world. A lot of reasons why. One is, for everything you own, possess, or is important to you, it gives the devil one more avenue by which the devil can attack you and tie you up and change your emotions and pull you down. But it also means if you have all these interests, then you are spread out. Your attention span is spread out and it's not focused on God and what God wants you to do. God wants you to be alive and remain when Jesus returns. That is the apostolic calling of this ministry. If that's a good thing for you, if that's what you want, if you think it's a good idea, then you need to go through these schools. And you need to not just hear it. You need to be a hearer and a doer of the word. When Tanya was raised from the dead, when she was brought back to health better than she had before, through 5 days of intense prayer and warfare by members of this congregation, 24 on the clock, ministry to her, bringing her back, overcoming 50 or more seizures, at least half of which were grand mal seizures. After she came back, and she was probably the most spiritual person at ABC for the first couple of years after she got back. Was way more spiritual than me, I can tell you. She was wonderful. And she said, God has a message for you all. All you participated in bringing me back and restoring me, you got your HD degree. I always wanted a degree with a D in there. Always wanted it. Never took time to get it. Okay? And when I finally had the opportunity to get one, get an honorary doctor's degree from a university, God says, no. Pass it up. Okay? Four of us were offered the opportunities that culminated and three receiving honorary degrees from a university. God told me not to do it. Of the three who got the honorary degrees, that's four, this is three. Of the three who got the honorary degrees, two are now dead, and the third one ended up in the emergency hospital and almost died. You are soldiers in the army of God. You were drafted into the army. Actually, you weren't drafted. You volunteered to be in the army of God when you accepted Jesus as your Savior and Lord. You are in warfare 24 hours a day. If not warfare for yourself, warfare for your family. You have to be prepared at all times to fight. That's why we have 7.5 years of formal schooling. If you want a church or a ministry where you go once a week, have a nice time, and go back home, this is not the place for you. I think that must be clear by now to everybody who's been here for a while. So the healing school themes, semester one, the title is Foundations of Healing. The theme is healing comes through speaking the word of God. You submit yourself to God, especially submitting yourself to the do's, such as you have what you say. You believe it, you live it, you speak it, you do it, you expect it. You expect that everything you say comes to pass. Everything you say comes to pass. So only say what God wants you to say. Once you're submitted to obedience to God's word, then you go to semester two, which is advanced divine healing. The theme, healing comes through the fruit of the Spirit. Understand this, that I have been doing healing for almost 40 years. Under this ministry has been raised, I guess it depends on how you count it, 8 or 9 people. We had a person in healing school semester 3, I don't know. In healing school, one of the semesters, a person died. We stopped the class and said, we have a class project. Let's raise a person from the dead. And we did. Person is still alive today. That was 10 years ago. Person is listening to me as I speak. But of all the ministers I know that focus on healing, they all focus on healing one way, through the gifts of the Spirit, the laying of hands. That's it. They all focus on the power of the Spirit of God upon you. There is, to the best of my knowledge, no other ministry in the world that teaches healing through the fruit of the Spirit. Let me give you an example. I went to a very formal and nice function a few years ago, perhaps 5 years ago, living with my wife. The days just go like this. Soup. I enjoy my days so much with my wife that I think we should expand the day by another 10 or 20 hours. Okay? So 5 years seemed like just yesterday, in one sense. So I was at this function, and I was seated next to what was supposed to be the pastor, senior pastor of a major church. Very, very large church. I don't know offhand how many thousands of people in it, but I've been told many thousands. But at last minute, he could make it. So his son replaced him. His son is also a pastor who has his own independent church under his father's umbrella. And so he brought up to me and said, I hear you have a healing school. I said, yes, we do. He said, I hear it's very successful. I said, yes, it is. He said, is it like Sister Gloria Copeland's healing school? And I thought about it, and I thought, this is the pastor of a successful church. I'll answer him at the mature level. Boy, did I make a mistake. About the way I answered him, I mean, not about anything else. I said, well, it is like Gloria's healing school in that they're both Bible-based. But the difference is that Gloria's healing school is a half-a-day school. And it's geared for unbelievers and young believers. It's the primary target. And because mature believers who go there, you can see them year after year sitting waiting for their manifestation, and they don't get it. My wife was an usher there for close to 20 years. And I said, our healing school is 1.5 years, not half a day. And we are geared to strong believers. And he was highly offended by that. I didn't understand why, and I thought about it. I guess he must have gone to Gloria's healing school for a healing. It's the only interpretation I can put in that. And so he was offended when I said it's for young believers. But it is the truth. Every other ministry I know is geared, I'm ministering to the gifts of the Spirit. The gift of the Spirit is from the Spirit of the Lord upon you, ministering to others, primarily, almost 100%. It's not meant for you to get your healing. You don't lay hands on yourself, generally. You can. I have done it a few occasions. But in general, it's not the way it's meant to go. Ah, but your Christian character is determined by the fruit of the Spirit. Your Christian character is determined by the fruit of the Spirit. You are supposed to develop the fruit of the Spirit. All of God is inside you. And when you understand you're a five-part beings and how the five parts work, you can learn to release the glory of God in you to flow out and manifest healing in your body. So that's what semester two is all about. Teaching you how to resist the devil by living a lifestyle founded on growing in the fruit of the Spirit. Founded on growing in the fruit of the Spirit, that you can receive healing manifestation from yourself without needing to go to anybody else. The more mature you are, it's the less likely you're going to get a miraculous manifestation through somebody else's ministry. The more mature you are, and that equates the maturity of the fruit of the Spirit, the more mature you are, is the more likely you get miracles, instantaneous miracles, by yourself through the fruit of the Spirit. It's the exact reverse. Baby Christians don't have much fruit developing them. So they rely on others praying for them. As others pray for them, after a while, the prayers are not as effective because they should quit feeding on milk and learn to feed on the meat. As they learn to feed on the meat and grow into strong meat, the character is built up and they get their own miracles. When I say miracles, they can be instantaneous. Most of the challenges that come after me live in a minute or two. And my staff, and many of you have testimonies like that also. 3 John 2 says, prosper and be in health even as your soul prospers. That is the direction for a believer. Grow and mature your soul, and as your soul matures, so will your healing mature, and as your health and healing matures, so will your financial prosperity. There's not one word in there about have somebody pray for you or lay hands on you. It's all up to you. I remember about 20 years ago, it must have been, Pastor James came to me and said, I know you've been teaching about prospering in your soul, and then your health, and then your finances. But he says, look at this man. Okay? He has boku de bucks. Okay? He's a buckaroo. Okay? But look at his health. It's out of sequence. And I give him an answer which satisfied him. Years later, he and his wife joined ABC. Years later, they were very busy running healing rooms at the time. Very successful healing rooms. And what is the, if I might say, the number one obstacle to growing in the fruit of the Spirit? Just, never asked it before, just who'd want to hazard a guess? The number one obstacle of growing in the fruit. I'm not casting this in concrete. I'm going to provide it as my opinion. But I think it's scriptural. Anybody want to take a guess? Number one obstacle to growing in the fruit. Pride. Who said pride? That's it. Pride. Number one obstacle is pride. Semester 3. Spiritual warfare and divine healing. Here's where the demons run for you. People love cleansing. Once they learn it, they love it. Before they learn it, they're scared of it. Only people who really stay at ABC are strong believers, depending on how you measure it. Where we lose most where we have in the past lost most of our people on an ongoing basis, and these are strong believers, was cleansing, semester 3. Some left because they were scared of demons. Some left because they grew up in the faith movement, which very simply says, it says, you speak to the demon and tell it to go, and it goes. That's true the first time. That may be true the second time, the third time, it ain't gonna go. They say, we minister healing and cleansing the way Jesus did. And Jesus said, go and they go. I said, yeah. And how many people did Jesus cast demons out of more than once? And the answer is zero. He never cast demons out of the same person on more than one occasion. And he never cast more than one kind of demon out of people, to the best of my recollection. Legion was many. But they didn't say many different types. And they had one name. What did he tell them? Go and sin no more, lest the worst thing come upon you. And when the worst thing comes upon them, there's no example of Jesus casting them out. You cannot minister cleansing, and for the matter, most healing the way Jesus did. Because he said the works that he did, you're doing greater works. Because he goes to the Father. Because he did not minister to anybody, he was born again. Not one person under his ministry was born again. Therefore, not one person under his ministry could have gotten healing through the fruit of the Spirit. There are other reasons, but that gives you a little starter, okay? So theme, healing comes through personal cleansing. Your body and your home are not meant to be habitations of devil. Revelation 18, verse 2. Talking about the destruction of what is the earthly home for the false prophet, is the way I understand the scriptures. Okay? Babylon is going to be destroyed. It's a city. And it says, it has become a habitation of devils. You are the temple of God. You're not meant to be a habitation of devils, nor is your home. Cleanse your body and cleanse your home, and demons will flee from you. Review of semester 1. Semester 1, we confess sins using 1 John 1:9. This is very important. If you recognize a specific incident of a sin, then you confess it as a known sin. You cannot call something a known sin and confess it as a known sin unless you have an incident to go with it. If you know, for example, you commit a lot of sins in pride, but you don't know what they are, let it be covered by the unknown sin. If you confess your known sins, all the unknown sins are washed away. If you don't know any sin, just say, Lord, cleanse me. I don't know any sins, Lord, since the last time I confessed. Cleanse me of all unknown sins. If there's no specific incident, you cannot say, let me say it again, let me repeat it again. There's a lady who became paralyzed up to the neck because she didn't understand this. Once she understood it, she was healed from paralysis in 15 minutes. From paralyzed to the neck to totally free in 15 minutes. This was maybe 4 or 5 years ago. You can only confess a sin if you know what it is. It must be attached to a known sin. Otherwise, you say, Lord, I don't know any sins, and he cleanses you of all unknown sins. RRB, reviewing semester 1. Repent, renounce, break. After you confess your sins, that restores your fellowship with God. But the demons, devils, and evil spirits are still around. To get rid of them, you must repent, renounce, and break. People become open to satanic attacks in all areas of their life, including in the areas of healing and health, because of demonic attachments. Sin is like a snail crawling across your dining room floor. It leaves a trail behind you. You don't want a snail trail on your dining room floor. You clean it up. Sin leaves a snail trail, a sin trail. It's called a curse. You clean it up by repenting, renouncing, and breaking. Affirmations, speaking the word of God. Speaking the word of God. You know, you should only speak words that bring grace to the hearer. That has to be the word of God. Only the word of God brings grace. Grace is God's help and mercy when you don't deserve it. Comes from speaking the word of God. So, when you speak the word of God, it's called an affirmation. Not when you are praying it, when you are declaring it as the truth. And it is using the sword of the Spirit by declaring God's word. And you do it to agree with what God said. God said it, I agree with it, so I'm saying it. God said I can have whatever I say. I'm saying I have whatever I say. Whatever I say comes to pass. Which means my desire is only say what God has said. So you're doing that. You're saying what God said. You're agreeing with him to attack the enemy. Affirmations is not trying to get God to change his mind. It's attacking the enemy with the sword of the Spirit. You don't take out your sword and swing it once at the enemy and put it back in. No, you take out your sword and you swing it and you stick it until you win. You do affirmations until you win. When do you stop doing affirmations? When you got the victory. To call things that be not into this level. To call things from the spiritual into the natural. To loosen the anointing of God through speaking words that release anointing. And to empower.